Welcome to Burning River Radio. I'm your host, Joe Koblitz at Burning River BB, and I'm joined, as always, by Justin Lotta at JL underscore baseball. Did I mess that up?
No, you got that right.
JL underscore baseball.
I
feel like it's been 2 weeks since we recorded a podcast, and it's actually been 2 minutes. So, our last podcast was all about our Burning River Baseball minor league rankings, which you are welcome to go look up at any point in time on burningriverbaseball.com. We did 50 of them, staff put together. So, if you want to hear about that, make sure you listen to the last one we did, or just read about them as we write about them extensively. But we haven't talked about the beginning of the Indians offseason. And while we are mostly focusing on minor league stuff now as a website, we're still going to talk about the major leagues on the podcast and periodically on the website. And it's all important for how these things fit together, right? I mean, like when the year before Francisco Lindor became a major leaguer, when they delayed his start because of a litany of things he had to work on, the Indians knew they needed a shortstop and they could have went out and got this big expensive shortstop. Instead, they were like, no, we'll just give it to Jose Ramirez, let him flounder there for 2 months, and then bring up Ramirez, bring up Lindor, which is like the worst thing they could have done to Ramirez. But it saved Lindor a year of free agency and Super 2 status, so probably in the end it was worth it. So the minor league situation always affects the major league situation and vice versa. So the first flurry of moves that has happened. One, Tyler Olson's gone. Boone Logan is gone because Tyler Olson is good. So Boone Logan disappeared. They didn't want to pay him $7 million because they can pay Tyler Olson $500,000 for the same job.
Mm-hmm.
So that seemed easy enough, right?
That would have been the worst decision they could have made this offseason, was picking up Boone Logan's option.
And what was the second worst?
The second worst thing? Not giving Santana the qualifying offer?
No, I was saying picking up Michael Brantley's offer.
No, I disagree, but sure.
No, most people.
Everybody had a nice cry over on Twitter.
I saw on Twitter, which is so funny. I gotta say, I love Jason Kipnis. I got a shirt with his name on it. I have two shirts with his name on it. Both of them are All Star shirts. So it's not like he's some bum. I don't like Brantley as much, just as a personal thing, but as a baseball player, he's a better hitter. I don't understand the vitriol for these players who have done so much for this team when they love Josh Tomlin, when they love Michael Martinez. Not everybody. There's a specific group of people, and you can't ever clump a large group of people in anything, but there are specific people I see that love Josh Tomlin, and they loved Mike Avilas, and they love Michael Martinez, and they love those guys. And those same people will rip on Michael Brantley and Jason Kipnis and want them gone. It's like, are you paying attention at all? These are the best players on the team. They've been the best players on the team for 8 years, 7 years, you know, between some of them. Same with Carlos Santana. There were guys who said, no, we don't even offer him a qualifying offer. Just let him go. Good riddance. It's like, do you understand he's the best first baseman this team has had since Jim Thome?
Not even close.
Like, these are the best players we've had since 2001. These guys right here, with the exception of Grady Sizemore and Travis Hafner, the guys on the team right now are the best. So, like, to just say, no, throw away Kipnis because Ramirez is going to play second base, and just throw away Brantley because we don't want to pay him $12 million. I bet you if he had went on the open market, he would have gotten at least 2 years, at least $10 million a year.
You're saying Brantley?
Brantley.
Yeah, I think it was MLB trade rumors that had him, if he got let go, was going to be – could go to the White Sox for 2 and 20.
Yeah, I think that's a fair deal for him. And I think people in Cleveland are out of their minds to think he's not worth $12 million, even if he plays 80 games. If he plays 80 games, he's worth $12 million. If he plays 100 games, he's worth a lot more than that.
The argument I got from a lot of people was, you don't try to pay market value for your own players. You want them to outperform.
Okay, my argument would be stuff. The argument I saw was you don't waste $12 million on him. You just put that to the pool that you're going to give to Santana. And my point is you can offer Santana $200 million, and there's a chance he says no because he's a human being, and he now has the freedom to play wherever he wants to play.
Exactly.
So maybe he comes in. Yeah, maybe he comes in at a discount. Maybe he doesn't. Brantley is under team control. He cannot leave if you give him $12 million because he already agreed to that. So you give it to him and you keep him because they already agreed on that price. It's not like he's severely injured like Boone Logan. He had an ankle injury that they had gave him surgery on it, and he's expected to be back by the time the season starts next year. I mean, it's not that his knees are falling apart or that he has a degenerative hip or any of these things. It's a physical injury that happened on the field, and they fixed it.
Let me point out a couple things about the Brantley injury too, because this is what bothers me the most about people's arguments about this whole thing. Number one, everyone says he's Sizemore 2.0, which is absolutely stupid because...
Well, and that's what I just said about the knees.
Right.
I hang out with a lot of old people, and I am almost an old person, and I've already had knee surgery. Almost. I've already had knee surgery, and I have arthritis. I'm familiar with knee pain, and everybody I've ever talked to about it says, once you have one knee surgery, you're going to have another, and then you're going to have another, and it never goes away. And you can remember Sandy Alomar, and he went through that, and he kept having knee problems over and over again. Once you have knee problems, it doesn't ever get better. I'm not talking about ligament necessarily joint or ligament or it's not ligament or muscular. This is
talking about tissue,
like cartilage issues. Mm-hmm. It's not like a torn ACL or it's not any of that stuff. It's physical, like degradation of the cartilage and of the meniscus, depending on who it is that's having the issue. It could be a couple different things, but that stuff never gets better. When you sprain your ankle or break your ankle or whatever, they can fix that, and then you can come back and play again. It's like in all these things, like it's a physical injury. Even Tommy John, they fix it, and you can usually come back and pitch again. That's not as bad as if you mess up your shoulder and they never fix it, or you mess up something in your back and they don't know necessarily what's wrong with your back.
And that's the thing with Sizemore. Sizemore had – he was the first player in baseball to have microfracture surgery on his knee. So at the time, it was not a guarantee of how that was going to work out. He had lower back surgery. He had an elbow surgery. He had the knees – he had – what was the other one? He had an oblique surgery because he had a hernia. He had a hernia. Mm-hmm. So that's like – Sizemore had like five surgeries. Brantley – yeah, he's had three surgeries. One was on his shoulder initially, and the other one was...
Yeah, they had the bicep last year.
Bicep to fix the shoulder issue, and then he had the ankle. None of those, I mean, the first two are related, obviously, a little bit, but the second one's not. And like you said, it's not a knee, so I don't think you can call him Sizemore. That's pretty stupid, I think.
In any event, it's $12 million and it's not your money.
True.
If they cut him in 3 months into the season, which they will never do, that's their choice. It's not going to hurt the baseball team, I don't believe, to give him that money. There's another false equivalency that's been going on recently, and that's comparing Jay Bruce to Carlos Santana, who are both exiting.
Let me get one more thing out about Brantley before we move on. The other thing about the injury was that nobody trusts the Indians to deal with injuries correctly because they've had so many, and you feel like they've botched injury situations, but I have a hard time. Like, you can say they might have botched stuff, and
well, I think anybody can say that Brantley should not have been on the postseason roster.
Yeah, if he needed surgery, it was pretty – he wasn't going to play a big role. Although, I would argue, what are you going to do, put Yandy Diaz on there? There's no guarantee he does any better. But
no, he was not physically able to play. And the fact that he had surgery immediately after the series shows that he was not physically able to play, and they probably knew it.
Yeah, it's hard for me to say that anybody else would have done better than Brantley.
I'm talking about his personal well-being, not.
Oh yeah, sure. You're talking about not performance. Okay, that's fine. But I find it hard to question.
I don't think they lost because of that. I'm not saying that.
No. But I think the issue was saying that the Indians are bad at injuries or handling injuries, and you can't trust them. My only caveat about judging them based on how they handle injuries is that they have access to all the medical information. We don't. Like, yeah. you can be like one of those guys on Twitter who does injuries for, you know, who writes about injuries about sports players. That's fine. But the majority of us don't have any kind of medical practice degree or anything other than what's happened to us. Like, you've had knee surgery, but I find it hard to question them sometimes because we just don't have the access to the medical reports that they do. So it's hard for me to say, well, they screwed this up. They screwed that up with this injury because we don't have all the medical information they do. We're not doctors, and they're not going to give you all the information medically because it doesn't benefit them
and obviously,
way by putting that information out.
There is a range of things, a range on even the same injury that different people have. There are players, Tanaka was supposed to have Tommy John and just threw through it, and he's still there. I mean, he stayed. He had a chance to opt out this year and chose to stay with New York because they let him pitch through his injury rather than getting surgery. So I mean, like, there are times when different players' bodies act differently, even though they had the same physical problem. So you can't say like that they rushed him back too early in spring training or something like that. Whenever it was in July, when he said he heard something pop and sat on the field like a baby. All right, I want to talk about this false equivalency with Jay Bruce and Carlos Santana, just because they're both free agents and they're both leaving. So many people have said, I want one or the other. But as we talked about on our last podcast, the Indians do not have a minor league first baseman who is capable of playing in the major leagues in 2018 at all. Bobby Bradley is the only one who looks like he may be a major leaguer ever, and he will certainly not be ready in 2018. So the Indians have nothing to put there except Edwin Encarnacion, who is a defensive liability, or potentially, as they were talking about, Michael Brantley. Whereas in the outfield, they are pretty stacked still. They've got their platoon of Chisenhall Guyer, which is probably right field. You've got Zimmer coming back, who apparently a source told me, my wonderful source, that he was ready to play in the ALCS should the Indians have won, that Zimmer was ready to play game one of the ALCS. And so he's going to be starting in center field. And then left field, you've got whatever your mix of other guys you want to put out there that are already within the system. I'd like Craig Allen personally. I'd probably put Allen in center and Zimmer in left. But you got Allen, you got Brantley, you've got Kipnis, who they want to make an outfielder. You've got Yandy Diaz, who they don't want to do anything with. And beyond that, Abraham Almonte is still on the team for some reason, and Tyler Naquin is as well.
And Abraham Almonte is out of options next year.
I believe Naquin is probably as well. I didn't look that one up.
No, Naquin's got one left.
He has one left? Okay. Yeah. I looked up the relievers, so that I have that one in my head, but I didn't look up the outfielders. So you've got all those guys who can play outfield. You have nobody who can play first base. You don't know that Brantley can play first base. That's not – and footwork is important there as it is in the outfield. So it's not like you can just stick a guy with a bum ankle there. Maybe you could DH him and put Encarnacion at first. But again, like I said, that's a poor defensive situation. It's not a long-term issue. So if you can re-sign Santana for like 3 years, that gives you a Bobby Bradley buffer, which I call the triple B. And you still have enough outfielders to play. So saying we need either Jay Bruce or Santana is stupid. I personally don't want Bruce at all. And it's funny, I saw someone predicting where free agents were going to go. And the only free agent on the entire list that anyone predicted to go to the Indians was Jay Bruce. And like six people did. But they didn't pick like JD Martinez to go to the Indians. And to me, I'd rather have JD Martinez than Jay Bruce. Like, if you're going to go out and pay for an outfielder, get JD. Get someone real. Don't don't mess around with Bruce again just because he played here for a couple months.
Well, I don't think anybody thinks they're going to go after JD Martinez because JD Martinez is going to get like 5 years and like $80 million.
Okay, so but that's
that's not what Jay Bruce is going to get.
No, he's not. But it's more than more less per year. I think Santana should get 20 per year, but the estimates I've seen are lower than that.
A lot of people predict was, well, MLB trade rumors had Santana at 3 years and $45 million, which if the Indians can get him back at that deal, that's an absolute steal. 3 years
yeah,
and 45.
Absolutely. Yeah, perfect. I think they should do that in a minute. But I think he's going to get more than that.
The deal that makes them looks natural because of the comparisons and stats is that Brandon Belt right now in San Francisco has a 4 year, $64 million deal. Now he's 28 and signed that deal a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. But Santana already got his first deal.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's going to want to pay.
But his was a lot cheaper than.
But this Belt is his break the bank deal. This is like same thing with Brian Shaw, who's also an outgoing free agent. This is Shaw's break-the-bank deal. He's never going to get another chance like this. He had a season, both of them did. Shaw and Santana had great years in 2017. They would both be idiotic. Well, obviously, Shaw didn't get a qualifying offer. And if Shaw got one, he should have signed it because $17 million for a reliever is insane.
Which Cody I could Allen's have argued that you could million. Have possibly given him the qualifying offer.
I think that would have been really dumb. Because, no, like, I think maybe he makes $10 million. When I originally wrote something on Shaw, I thought maybe he'd get like two to three years at $10 million a year.
Right. So and he would make more over 3 years than he would 1 year at 17. And if he
yeah, but I think if you offer him 1 year at 17, he's going to come back and make that 17 because it's guaranteed. And then he gets maybe
right,
2 years
but
for.
But if he gets 3 years and 27, that 27 is guaranteed as well.
And yeah, but I think he could get more.
If he takes the qualifying offer at 17 and gets hurt, and then next year he has to go out and probably sell for a 1 year, you know, $8 million deal to rebuild his value. So if he
takes
the 3 years at $27 million, he's got nothing to worry about for the next 3 years.
I think any relief pitcher who has ever offered a qualifying offer should take it immediately and just laugh.
I don't think
it doesn't
so.
Matter what not the offers
you,
are.
Not if you know you can get a multi-year deal worth more than what the qualifying offer is.
Yeah, I don't think so. That's just so much money. It's not meant for relievers. It's meant for starting pitchers and
unless you're a closer.
But closers are making maybe 15 a year. It's not. They're not making 17.5. It's just too much money.
Anyway,
the Indians have already said.
Is 4 years, $64 million. I think that's probably something in the range that Santana is going to get.
Yeah, so I think they may have a shot at him still. But also, I don't think that we should. You fall in love with the guys who are around, and they stopped the tradition of trading off their stars in their final year contract because they're competing for a World Series every year now since 2013. They've been, you know, contending every season. So they haven't been trading these guys. And so you're risking losing, and they'll get a draft pick for Santana if he signs somewhere else. And I think you have to be happy with that. Honestly, I think you have to move on and maybe do the Encarnacion first base thing, maybe do Kipnis at first base or Brantley. I think they have to figure something else out. I don't think he's coming back. Maybe you sign a guy for 1 year. But I think we kind of have to move on. You can't just fall in love with these guys and think they're going to stay around forever. The young kids haven't been through it yet because the last major free agent to leave, major free agent to leave, I believe was Tomy. Mm-hmm. I don't think they've let a superstar free agent leave since Tomy because mm-hmm. Tomy killed them so bad because that whole, everyone hated, like so many people, not everyone, a lot of people hate him still. I don't. But a lot of people hated him because he went to Cleveland, asked him for a deal, and Cleveland said, okay, this is the deal we're going to give you. Don't ask us again. Like, this is the maximum. Well, he didn't say no. He went to Philadelphia. They beat it. And then he came back to Cleveland and said, hey, can you beat Phillies? And they said, no, we gave you our highest, and we told you not to ask for anything more. They were going to build him a statue and name part of the stadium after him. So he ended up getting the statue anyway. but he didn't get the part of the stadium. They gave that to Travis Hafner a couple years later. Yeah, it was going to be the it was going to be the Terrace Club. The Terrace Club was going to be the Tomy Terrace. Instead, Travis Hafner got Pronkville in the mezzanine. So if you're younger than 20 and an Indians fan, you've never seen your favorite player leave. Well, it's going to happen.
For a trade.
Yeah, but you've never seen him leave through free agency, so you might not understand that the Indians don't always re-sign. No team always re-signs the guys that leave. So I just deal with the fact that he's gone and he's gone. And don't do what the Royals did and overpay. The Royals are going to do it again this offseason, I bet. They're going to bring one of those three guys back. It's not going to be Kane.
It's going to be Hosmer.
If the Indians were involved in a name, sign Lorenzo Cain. Jesus, that guy's a beast. Obviously, that would be probably stupid because they've already got too many outfielders, but that would be pretty fun.
I think he's the worst of that group to sign.
Oh, really? Cain?
Yeah, over 30 years old and an outfielder, and he's only got nowhere to go but down. And he's gonna get
all out. Right. Well, I don't really want any of them, but I think it's funny if KC will blow the bank on him. And really, anybody.
It's going to be Hosmer.
You have only to trust your system.
Only because his market might not be as good as everyone thinks.
I'll say this, too, about first base. If you want to move on from Santana, an idea that I haven't seen anywhere floated, and it's probably because he's not a good enough hitter, but move Yan Gomes to first base permanently and split catching time between Francisco Mejia and Roberto Perez instead of splitting it between Gomes and Perez.
It'd be a good idea, except for the fact that Gomes is not a good hitter. You're right.
If Gomes can't hit, then it doesn't work. But you need to get Francisco Mejia in this lineup. I've been watching him this spring. Today was the first day he didn't get a hit in the AFL. He had hits in his first 11 games. All he does is hit. The guy's crazy. And at the moment, he cannot play third base. I'm not going to say he never will be able to. I think that would be really premature. I think he needs to work out a lot if he wants to, and maybe he wants to, and maybe he doesn't. He doesn't seem particularly enthusiastic on the field about playing the position. But he's a fine enough catcher from what we've seen. He's got a great arm. He has a great arm at third base, too. It translates well. And if you want to, move him to first base. He's a little short, but, I mean, you could figure something out. But he has to be on the field next year, just like Lindor had to be in 2015 and Zimmer had to be this year. He's the guy that has to come up and play. So if you're moving all this stuff around, move one of those catchers to first base or DH or whatever, you know, just to free up that spot. You don't need to bring Santana back at an extremely high amount when you have these guys who are ready to play in the minor leagues.
This is my bold prediction for the offseason that relates to the catching situation, is that there's no way all four catchers on the 40-man roster, which is now Gomes, Perez, Mejia, and Eric Haas, there's no way all four are coming to camp with the Indians. One of them will be gone in the offseason.
I think they would have to keep three because, like, Adam Moore, they've had for, like, 3 years now. They keep bringing him back on minor league deals. You got to stop that. You can't have Adam Moore being your Triple-A catcher. You need to have someone in Triple-A who can actually come up and play at the majors if your catcher gets hurt, because the catcher gets hurt multiple times a year. Just being a catcher, he's going to get a concussion. He's going to get his toe stepped on or a foul ball in his arm or something. And you're going to need a third catcher at some point in time of the year. You can't have it be Adam Moore and Eric Kratz and then have to go sign somebody, you know, or steal someone off the waiver wire because you need to fill a spot for a day. You need to have a guy who can do that. And I think Eric Haas is fine for that.
They're going to have at least three for that spot now. I mean, obviously, with a guy like Mejia, if he can hit, you find a position for him. The problem is, it'd be nice if he was the guy who could play first base, but he's not. He's not a big enough.
Well, that's
target
what they're trying him at. They're trying him at third, which still doesn't necessarily help the situation because now you've got Jason Kipnis misplaced. Because there's no way Zimmer is not the center fielder, not only in 2018, but in 2019, 2020, 2021. He's going to be in the outfield. Maybe he's not center field.
That would be really weird, by the way, because here's a couple interesting things, is that they sent Jason Kipnis home for the year, for the offseason, with his after his exit meeting, not knowing what position he's going to play. I think it's pretty stupid to leave an all-star going into the offseason unsure of where what role he has in this team going next year. I think that's a bad.
All right. There's two things.
Number two. Not that it's foreshadowing, or not that he knows anything for sure. But Jose Ramirez's agent did tweet a few weeks ago about, there was an Albie trade.
A trade to Toronto.
Saying what should the Indians do with Jason Kipnis in the offseason? And he quote retweeted it saying, I trade with Toronto. So I think there's some.
All right, there's two things I want to talk about. Yeah, there's two things I want to talk about before we finish this, and that was one of them. So I guess we'll do that first. My personal preference, and I've said this many times on the show, and I've written it and I've tweeted it, is for Kipnis to play second base, Jose Ramirez to play third, and them to have a real defensive outfield.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think that's the Indians' preference as well. But I think Jose it is not Jose Ramirez. Second. Jose definitely wants to play second. And if you remember, Kipnis, I don't remember if he broke camp with the team or he started a little late. He was injured early in the season.
Yeah.
When he came back in whatever it was, late April or May, Jose Ramirez tweeted something at him like, I hate you or something like that.
It was a gif of him saying, I forgot what the gif was, but it was me and it said me when I see that Jason Kipnis is back.
Okay. That's okay. So yeah, so he was making a joke like that, and he said something to a couple people, and he was like, "No, I'm just kidding. I love him."
I don't want to say this out loud, but I'm more than 50% sure that Jose Ramirez does not run his own Twitter account. So who knows who's saying that?
Okay, that's fine, but I believe both can be true, and I think this is the fact is, and I don't hate on Ramirez on this for this at all. I think Ramirez not only believes he's best at second base and that he can make the most money in his career at second base and that he can be the most productive at second base, but that the Indians are best off when he's at second base. I think he thinks that.
He's probably right, too.
So if he thinks that, well, no, not necessarily. Not if you're talking about putting Kipnis in the outfield as.
Right. No, I mean, the ideal situation is the better outfield and Jose at second.
So, but if he thinks that, then he's fine to do what he is, and he cannot hate or he can like dislike Kipnis trying to take a spot back and still like him as a person. And I think we see this all the time. I mean, like, there's five starting pitchers in AAA and AA and Advanced A, and I'm sure they all get along and they're all friends with each other and they all want each other to succeed. But the fact is, those five guys in AAA are probably competing for one major league spot.
Uh-huh.
So in a way, they also hate each other, and they don't want each other to succeed. So I think you're seeing this a little bit with Ramirez, where he's his teammate, and he wants him to do as well as he can. But no, he does not want Kipnis back, and no, he doesn't want someone fighting for his job. It's like a quarterback controversy before the beginning of the season. You know, you don't want that other guy.
And that's why I think it's really stupid they sent Kipnis home without defining a position for him before he went.
But I think the fact is, Jose Ramirez was a top three finisher for the MVP this year. You cannot mess with your superstar. He is the superstar. You can't screw around with that too much. So if he's going to pull this G move and say, I'm second, deal with it, then maybe they have to trade Kipnis. Maybe they have to move him to some other position. Maybe he can play first. I don't know. Maybe he can DH, and Encarnacion can play first. As we said, like, there's a lot of different permutations to this. But that really does fuck the Indians over because they don't have another third baseman.
Whatever.
That's the problem, is that they don't have a third baseman. If they had an all-star third baseman other than Jose, who cares? But they don't. Mejia's not it. Ursula's not it. Diaz isn't it yet. Maybe Diaz will be it. Who knows? But he's not now. So that's the problem with this, is that the Indians are not as good a team with Jose at second because they don't have someone who can play third like he can.
Right, and that's the argument putting Kipnis back at second, is that you have the highest upside offensively with that alignment. And Kipnis has been average at second base over his career.
Yeah, exactly. He's been above league average, and especially on balls hit directly at him. I've looked up the stats tons of times and kept up with it. He is very good at routine balls, better than the average second baseman is at routine balls. He is worse than the average at range. That's fine because he plays next to Francisco Lindor.
Well, and it didn't happen this year, but it would have been a nice benefit to have him playing next to Santana as well, because Santana had a great year defensively. And then, by the way, didn't win a freaking Gold Glove and lost it to Eric Hosmer, who had negative defensive runs saved and a negative UZR 150. There's my rant about Gold Gloves. How stupid they are.
Okay. Yeah, no, they're very stupid. I think that's that's about it on that. So I guess if the Indians wanted to improve the team, they could try to pick up a third baseman. But I feel like that's at least a little bit of a waste.
Josh Donaldson, there you go. Deal done.
Well, okay, it depends on how much money they want to spend, I guess. The last thing I wanted to cover, and this is because I asked you guys to do this as in the staff, and nobody could come through for me. But Todd Paquette did. So go ahead and follow, I believe it's at Indians Pro, if he hasn't blocked you. Justin.
That means me.
But if he hasn't, go ahead and follow him because he has to have all the credit for this. He came out with the Indians list of minor league free agents, which is one of the many lists, like the options list, that I feel like should just be on the Indians website. And you should just be able to click it and be like, okay, these guys are the guys. But it's not, and you have to search through every single guy and find out whose contract has been extended 7 times and whatever. So I have it. And you can split it into 2 lists. There are 6 guys I don't care about at all because they just came on as minor league free agents within this year or last year or whatever. There, who cares? But there are some decent names on this list that have been with the team for a long time or are bigger name guys that came recently. The first guy that sticks out to me is Luigi Rodriguez. He's a center fielder.
Bye.
He played in Double A this year, I believe. He
fourth year in a row or third year in a row, yeah.
No, he was in Lynchburg last year. And actually, the reason why is because last year he was suspended for performance-enhancing drugs.
For the second time.
You're in Arizona.
For the second time.
I made a joke. I don't think I ever tweeted it. I don't know if I ever said it on the podcast. But it was a good joke. It's Luigi Rodriguez is the first person who ever failed a PEDI test. It means they looked at him and knew he did PEDs. Because the man is jacked. He's ridiculous. He looks like a bodybuilder. It doesn't make sense. He doesn't look like a baseball player.
And he gained a lot of weight fast.
And he's just jacked up. So, I mean, you could tell. But he's really fast. He steals bases for a guy with so much power. He's not a permanent center fielder, I would say. I'd say he'd eventually be a corner guy. He's got a pretty decent arm. And I hate to see him go because of that. Because he's better. Like, Jordan Smith has been with the team forever. He is also a minor league free agent. Who cares? Luigi.
Yeah, he should be gone.
Try to bring back Luigi. I know you don't like him. A lot of people don't like him, just like they don't like Almonte, because they see it as cheating. I don't care. I don't see it as cheating.
I don't care about Almonte's PED use, but Luigi is. I've seen Luigi years ago in Lake County, and
I was going to say I've seen him shooting up.
No, I'm surprised. I know enough to know that I'm surprised he wasn't suspended for PED sooner. He got caught.
That's a lot. When he was walking around in the in extended spring training when he was here, and Almonte also played extended spring when he was suspended. But when Luigi was walking around in extended spring, everybody else is like 17 years old. Some of them are 16. And this 23-year-old is just like looming over everybody. To me, it was like, why is he here? Oh, yeah, that's right. He cheated. All right, so you don't like him. Next guy that might matter to me is Luis Lugo.
Sure, bring him back. Why not?
Left-handed starting pitcher. I think I saw him play a long time ago, but it's been a long time. I think he's had some attitude issues, right?
Lugo? Yeah. Not that I've heard.
Maybe that's a story I'm not supposed to tell.
I mean, I've heard other things about him, and attitude wasn't the one.
Okay. Well, I'll call it attitude. Yeah, I don't know. To me, some of these guys may be in that like kind of tainted. The Indians don't want Joe Colon is another one, minor league free agent.
I can guarantee you he's going to be gone.
Yeah,
he'll not be back.
Yeah, so there's a few guys like him who maybe be a little bit tainted as far as what the Indians are concerned. They really have built up this culture of like it's a family and they all love each other. I think that's Tomlin's option was easy to take because it was so cheap. I mean, he's worth
just for depth alone. Yeah.
Bartolo Colon signed for what, $10 million last year?
At least eight. Yeah,
I think he's worth twice as much as Bartolo Colon.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
So, like, to have him for $2 million when guys like that are signing for $10 million and R.A. Dickey is signing for what, $10 million or whatever, $8 to $10 million. Like, to have a guy like Tomlin for that cheap is incredible. I don't want him in the rotation. I don't want him in the bullpen. I hope they can trade him, but I don't think they will because they have this, like, family unit thing. And so that gets back to what we're talking about here. I don't think they want to mess with that. And I think maybe that they would think that a guy like Rodriguez or Lugo or whatever could mess with that. And they're not talented enough to be worth messing with it. Like, if you're super talented and asshole, I think they would still call you up. But they aren't good enough. To make that. So let's throw some names out just because I don't care about them at all. Jonathan Mendoza, Claudio Batista, Juan de la Cruz.
If they have anybody to replace those guys with, they're all gone because those are guys that...
I think they do because they had two DSL teams this year. And I feel like they only need one next year. So if they may move like that entire second team up to AZL, which they could cut a ton of guys off the roster this year. And that would be a great place to start. Juan de la Cruz is a first baseman who's terrible. Like, there's no reason for him to be on the team. Batista's a little better. He's second baseman. Jonathan Mendoza, third baseman. They're in the high minors, so they're not awful, but whatever to me. Like, I don't see the value there. Plus, you know, they're bringing in the international free agents that they signed last year are definitely coming in. They're going to have a new draft class coming in next year. I don't see the need on there. The guys I think they need to bring back at least one of are Jeff Johnson, Enosil Tejada, and we already said Joe Colon, but also Percy Gardner and Carlos Frias. Between all those guys, they should bring back one or two of them if they can. The bullpen is really scary at this point. Sean Armstrong is out of options. Kyle Crockett is out of options.
Yeah, so is Ryan Merritt. Those are going to be some...
I have to assume Armstrong's getting cut, which will make room on the 40-man.
I guess it depends on what they do with Brian Shaw. Wait, well, Brian Shaw and Joe... Well,
Shaw's gone. He's already off the roster, so...
Right. But, I mean, so, if they sign... Ideally, so if they re-sign either Smith or Shaw, which I don't think they're going to re-sign Shaw at all, but if they re-sign one of those two, their bullpen is set at seven with one of those two coming back without Armstrong.
Yeah, I know. I'm talking about injury. Like, these are guys you want in AAA. I'm not saying necessarily that Jeff Johnson is the hero of the future. In the past, maybe we thought he was going to be a major league reliever.
I do with Josh Martin too. I think Josh Martin's probably a minor league free agent.
No, he's not.
No. Well, he was taken in the 5 last year and returned.
Well, it's a slightly different thing. Because the rule 5 is based on age, and the minor league free agent is based on years. So it depends on how old you are and that type of thing.
Well, I mean, Armstrong's spot's going to depend on what they do with the bullpen. If they sign Smith or if they sign somebody else to pick up Shaw's role, then Armstrong's probably gone. Unless they think they can cover his innings without it.
If you can bring back a guy like Enosil Tejada, who had an incredible season at AAA, or a guy like Jeff Johnson, who's been pretty good for a really long time. He had over a 10K per nine in AAA. If you can bring back a guy like that, and you have to throw him on the 40-man to keep him, and you have to cut Armstrong to do it, then just do it. And if you have to cut Crockett, I love Kyle Crockett. But the fact is, they don't use the guy. There have been so many times they could have used him, and they didn't. And they just passed him over and brought in Tyler Olsen, which is fine. Olsen's been great. But if you're not going to use the guy, set him free. And this is the same argument we had for Jesus Aguilar. If you're not going to use him, let him go. Because he's done in AAA. He's not going to learn anything else in AAA. And now those guys cannot be sent back to AAA. And that's what they waited with Aguilar until the last possible second. They protected him through the 40, through the Rule 5 draft, which is so dumb. To me, if you're not going to have a guy involved in your team next year, you should not be protecting him in Rule 5, because you should either be participating as someone trying to get a player, which I don't – the Indians probably can't because their roster is fairly set. And they aren't going to give a spot. It's not like they're a rebuilding team that has all those extra roster spots like the Reds did last year. But at least protect as many guys as you can that you want to protect. And so they lost Anthony Santander last year, who in last year's rankings, I believe, was 10th in our rankings, and he's playing in the AFL this year. So they lost Anthony Santander because they kept Jesus Aguilar. And then they got rid of Aguilar later anyway. So if you're going to get rid of Armstrong 2 weeks into spring training, get rid of him now and protect one of these other guys.
Well, who's got to be – are you talking about just protecting him for depth? I mean, I don't know if any of those guys.
Yeah, really that's essentially.
What's Lewis Head status? Is Lewis?
No, he's not. He's safe. No, he's okay, and he's essentially equivalent to Jeff Johnson. He doesn't strike out as many, but I don't think he walks as many either. So.
I don't know. None of those guys, to me,
none of them.
Those guys are Sean Armstrong or Austin Adams. They're guys that
exactly.
You
but
send
I think
up
you
and
need
down
a
on
guy
one if your bullpen gets taxed.
But you can't send Armstrong up and down anymore. So you need somebody else to play that game with. And right now, there's not a whole lot of options in AAA. Most of the guys that were
keep Armstrong on the roster, which I don't think they're going to do.
I mean, honestly, this may be the entire AAA bullpen. Robbie Avilas, Carlos Frias, Percy Gardner, Jarrett Grubb, Jeff Johnson, Enosel Tejada, Joe Colon.
Percy Garner, I know, got a minor league deal to come back. So
okay, so
he's back for next year.
Travis Banwart, Chris Narveson. I think that's the entire AAA bullpen and some starters. So you're either talking about bringing in a whole bunch of new guys next year or maybe bring back a couple. And I'm saying if you can bring back Tejada and Johnson or Frias, you know, just protect them on the 40 and you got them. That's all you have to do, what they do with Haas.
I don't know. I don't think any of those guys are worth it, because if you put any of those guys on the 40 right now, if you DFA'd them, if you DFA'd them in, you know, April or May or whatever, if you need to add another reliever, if you need to DFA one of those guys to get somebody else on the 40 or to bring somebody up, all those guys will clear waivers. I don't think any of those guys are getting picked up off waivers. So for me to say that any of those guys should be on the 40, I think makes no sense, because I wouldn't protect anybody that's going to clear waivers. I would save 40-man spots for guys that I know I can't get through waivers.
Well, I'm just saying to use them before the Rule 5 draft, just to protect them through the draft.
I guess. But
and then after, if you need those spots, then just use the spots. But it seems silly to protect Sean Armstrong now. Because if they took him off the 40 now, he'd be on waivers, so anyone could pick him up. It seems silly to protect him right now and not to protect Enosil Tejada.
Well, okay, so
it doesn't matter.
I think Merriweather's got to be protected. If we're talking about 40-man spots, Merriweather's got to be protected. No, he's not on the 40.
I thought he was on the 40-man.
No, okay. He needs to be. Otherwise, he will go on the Rule 5.
Yeah.
And Yu Cheng Chang has to be protected as well.
Okay, well, then those guys obviously would be more important. But again, they're more important than Sean Armstrong. So I expect.
Well, I think Adam Plutko is going to be one of the guys that takes a hit on the 40. And I think Dylan Baker probably will wind up losing his spot if they have to fit somebody else on, because he's on the 40 still as well.
The last guy on here we got to talk about is. Who won the Indians minor league DH of the year?
DH?
Yeah, do you remember?
I mean, just player of the year or DH?
Yeah, DH of the year. Minor league DH of the year. They announced the awards. I think you were all mad about it.
Oh yeah, gosh, because McKenzie was the pitcher in the.
It was a catcher that won the Ace of the Year.
Oh yeah, it was Martin Cervenka.
Yeah, and he is a minor league free agent. So I think that's kind of funny that you name the guy your DH of the year and then you just let him go. But I think they will let him go because who cares? He's Martin Cervenka.
He's 25 years old playing in high A. Yeah, he's not.
And, I mean, his career highlight was playing the third string catcher, didn't even get into a game for Team Czech Republic and the World Baseball Classic qualifiers, and they lost.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't get into a game.
Mm-hmm. They love last guys. Well, I mean, there was a time last year in Lake County, and this was before the 50-game hit streak and everything like that. There was a time in Lake County that maybe it was just the manager or the coaching staff there. It wasn't necessarily the organization. But the coaching staff in Lake County loved Martin Cervenka. I mean, I you know, you would ask them a couple questions about Mejia because he had a 3-for-4 game. And they'd give you 3 or 4 words on Mejia, but if you asked them a question about Cervenka, they'd give you, you know, 2 paragraphs worth of quotes because they love Cervenka. And that was obviously the fact that Mejia had some hustle and whatever character issues at the time that he's since overcome. But there are some people who do like Cervenka a lot. I don't know if it's
okay.
The whole organization. But yeah, I went too long on Martin Cervenka, yeah.
Yeah, I think and that's some of these guys, you know, at some point there's just not room for everybody, and they've been drafting catchers like crazy the last couple of years. They got a lot of guys, and Lee Jen Chu came back from injury. So now all of a sudden you've got these guys coming up, and maybe none of them are really great, but they have to move up, and the only way they can move up is if you get rid of some of the guys on the top. And obviously they'll get rid of Mejia, hopefully, by putting him on the major league roster. The last one was Ronnie Rodriguez, of the minor league free agents that matter. And I have a feeling we talked about Eric Stametz on the last episode. I feel like if you're going to talk about Indians utility men, it probably goes Eric Gonzalez, then Giovanni Ursula, then Eric Stametz, then Ronnie Rodriguez. And I think that puts him far enough down the list that they can let him go.
Those are two more interesting decisions, or really three if you count Diaz. Yandy Diaz is.
Oh, yeah. He would also be ahead of.
Yeah, so both Urshela and Gonzalez are out of options this year, which means one of them is going to be gone because neither is going to clear waivers. You can't have both on the major league roster. And Yandy Diaz still has an option, but he's going to be 27 in April. Do you really want to stick him in AAA at age 27?
No, that would be ridiculous. Especially, right. He played a ton this year. At the major league level, it would be really silly. I'd love to see him trade some of these lesser guys and move up people. I hate the accumulation of quadruple A players. You learn what they are, you figure it out, and you get rid of them. And maybe every once in a while you miss out on a Justin Turner or Jose Bautista or David Ortiz. Maybe you miss out like on one of those guys every once in a while. But I'd say 99% of the time, the guy you're getting rid of is never going to turn into anything. So it's pretty safe to dump a guy like Almonte or a guy like Ursula. Or, you know, if you want to make some room, make your decisions wisely, think about them, but make some room and move some guys around.
I just don't know if you can fit all three guys. You can't fit all three guys in the 25-man roster. You can't.
Yeah, so make some space for Francisco Mejia and for Greg Allen and.
Well, I think both those guys are back to AAA this year.
Yeah, well, hopefully not for very long. I think they may for the sake of service time, but hopefully
service
it's not
time. I mean, I think Allen could use some time in AAA. He's not quite ready yet. He was over.
Well, yeah, I'm talking. Well, he also missed the entire season last year with that hamate bone.
Not the whole season, but a couple
most
months.
Of it.
I think Mejia was a little overmatched in his first.
Maybe he barely played though in the regular season, and when I saw him hit against major league pitching in spring training, he destroyed it. And now he's hitting against AAA and AA pitching, and he's destroying it. He's hitting almost 400. I mean, he's up there. He could win MVP, except Acuna probably is going to, but He's going to be like a top three finisher for AFL MVP.
Yeah, he might.
He's just, and if you want to read about that, go on BringRiverBaseball.com. Yesterday, I don't know when I'm recording this. This is going to be produced late. I believe it was Monday, November 6th. I have a piece out. It's about the entire AFL, but it's most, or Indians players in the AFL, but it's mostly about Francisco Mejia and his conversion to third base. And he's been really impressive.
Mejia's been impressive at third?
No, hitting.
No, I was going to say. I've not seen one positive report at third base.
You didn't see my reports? I've tweeted every out.
Not exactly ringing.
I've tweeted every single out he made. No. We can talk about more of that later. I think that's enough for today. Maybe tomorrow the Indians will fire everybody and start over. No?
No.
I think I am.
Okay.
I'm going to make some room on the roster for some Rule 5 draft picks. Let's see what's going on over it.
There's no way they should be taking anybody from Rule 5. If you're talking about adding anybody from...
No, I'm talking about Birdie River Baseball.
Oh, well. Make sure you protect me at least.
I'm going to see what's on did the Tribe win last night's waiver wire.
Waiver wire, great.
Who they're keeping in the minors.
Good luck with that.
I don't even know if they still exist. I don't think they do. I don't know. Brandy Berry hasn't talked to me in a long time.
You can scour Believe in Ball or something. I don't know.
I don't know what that is, but don't give any more plugs out.
That's a good point. All right. Well, I think we're good.
Okay. Yeah, we'll catch you next time with something that actually happened. Or we'll probably do one of these at the end of AFL to wrap that shit up.
We can. Might as well.
Yeah. Again, we're mostly focusing on minor league stuff, but obviously it all impacts one way or the other. Make sure to keep checking BringRiverBaseball.com all month for revelation after revelation of what is coming out of our top 50 prospect rankings. And keep checking out the prospect rankings. I think we put a lot of time and effort into that, and that's what came out of it.
Yeah. Oh, and RIP Roy Halladay.
I was going to sing a song, and now you ruined it.
Good. I'm glad that's what ruined it for you. That's sad, though.
I was literally sitting with two minor league pitchers when that news came out in the press box at the Glendale game. Yeah, it's really sad that he killed himself with his plane.
Yeah, unfortunately, his plane crashed, yeah.
You say it one way, I'll say it another way. I'm going to try to keep this PC and just wait for you to turn it off rather than me singing what is now going to be an extremely offensive song.